scripture. And it's followed by chapter 9, which gives us a lot of detail about how God works in our life and how that our life is molded by God. And He molds some of us to be vessels of honor and some to be vessels of dishonor. And therefore, it is God that does these things and not us. I hope I get down with this because I have a lot to say. I've never ceased to be amazed at Arminianism. And a lot of people doesn't understand what Arminianism is. If you look at the typical Baptist church, that's Arminianism. They believe in choice and decision. They believe in making your own way about salvation. Salvation is up to you and you alone. And their pastors will tell you, and most of them will tell you, that God can't even change your will. It is totally up to you to make a decision for Christ. That God gives a general call, and everyone is called to come to salvation. And if you don't come, it's because of you and your failure to make that decision for Christ. Well, the only problem with that is not true. None of that is true. If you're going to consider that as truth, then you leave out so much about salvation. I'd like to read the whole chapter of Romans, chapter 8, but I cannot. But let's drop down, if you will, verse 6. I'm going to just read a couple of scriptures before we get into our text. If I have to, I will hurry with my message. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Now, what does it mean to be spiritually minded? That's what you got to ask yourself. What does it mean there's a cardinal mindset and a spiritual mindset? Well, let's go on. Verse 7 says, because the cardinal mind is at enmity against God. That is a fleshly mind, an unredeemed mind, a lost person. As an enmity with God. Their mindset is only on cardinal things. Me, my pride, myself, what I can do, I can accomplish this. For it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. But listen to verse 8. So then, they that are in the flesh cannot please God, because there's no spiritual mindset to them. They're spiritually discerned. They have no living spirit in them. Their spirit is dead. See, the first thing has to happen to a lost sinner before they're saved is Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1, it says that they have to be quickened, made alive. We don't make ourselves alive. We can no more resurrect our dead spirit than someone in the cemetery can resurrect their dead spirit or their dead body. Because there's no spirit there. It's already in hell or heaven. It's just a body. They can't resurrect it. And I can't go to a cemetery and resurrect them either. Because I don't have the power to do so. You see how hard that is the same relationship we have with lost people. Now, let's move on. Let's go to verse 9. For ye are not in the flesh, speaking of saved people, but in the spirit. Notice the spirit is S is capitalized. That means it's talking about the Holy Spirit. You're in the Holy Spirit, so that if the Spirit of God dwelt in you. So the Holy Spirit dwells in saved people. Not in lost people, but saved people. See, if a spirit is dead, then it has no communication with the Holy Spirit. And he is none of his. He don't belong to God. People that don't have the Holy Spirit dwelling in them, who have not had their spirits quickened by the Holy Spirit, they're dead. They're none of God's, none of Christ. And if Christ be in you, we don't invite him in, he comes in. The body is dead because of sin. The body is dead. The entire body is dead. Lost. Because of sin. But the spirit is life because of righteousness. Again, the Spirit is capital S. The Holy Spirit in you is life. So the life in us is the Holy Spirit. Now let's turn our attention. I wanted to go through that real quickly to show you that there's more to salvation than what people think is making a decision for Christ, turning over a new leaf, doing good works. Salvation's not of us. I want you to listen to the, if you cannot listen to this message, if you cannot listen to the Word of God, you will never learn the truth about salvation. You will never learn the truth of God's functions in our salvation. Listen closely to Romans chapter 8, verse 28, 29, and 30. This is our text. And we know that all things work together for the good to them that love God, who are called according to his purpose. Now, what do people miss when they look at the scripture? They miss to them who are called according to his purpose. Listen, read it again. To them who are called according to his purpose. Now, we know that all things work together for the good to us because we are God's children. We are the property, sole property of God. God has caused us to be saved. God has redeemed us. He's called us to that salvation. And we came by the power of the Holy Spirit to Christ. Now, go farther into verse 29. For whom God did foreknow, he, God, also did predestinate to be conformed, for whom he, God, did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son. So, whom God predestinated. It was God that predestinated. It wasn't us. We weren't even there. We haven't even been born. We haven't even been thought of by anybody else because nobody else existed but God at this time. So if you are saved today, God predetermined your salvation. Let's move on. He predetermined you to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. And whom he called, them he also justified. And whom he also justified, them he also glorified. A lot said there. We're going to break this down just as fast as I can this morning and move through this message as fast as I can. If I can't get done with it, we may break it and continue next week because this is an important message. I don't care who you are. I don't care what your thinking is, there's some things people have to answer for. And how can Arminianism, how can people of decision, how can people of choices, how can people that make their own way to Christ, how can people that control their own destiny, how can people that has to change themselves, has to change their own will, ever say that God has anything to do with salvation? Let me ask, what part of salvation does God actually have to do with these people's salvation? If you listen to their pastors and listen to them, they'll tell you that God can't even change your will. If God cannot change your will, if God doesn't do anything for your salvation, then let me ask you this question. Why do they pray to God for people to be saved? If God has nothing to do with your salvation, and it's all up to you, it's all your choice, if it's your destiny to make, if the things you have to do it all yourself, like even change your own will. I don't know how in the world you could do that. But to change your own will and quicken your own spirit, and cause the Holy Spirit to be in you, cause Christ to be in you. These are literal. They're not figurative. They're not metaphorically. Christ is actually in us. The Holy Spirit's actually in us. Why would I call on God to do anything if I don't believe that God can do it? We're going to look this morning at the effectual call of God. We speak of the effectual call of God. We're not speaking of a general call. You will turn to Revelation 22. The difference between these two calls is a radical difference, totally opposite of each other. I'll just tell you what that difference is. The general call is a call from a church, from man, to all other people. In other words, let's go on. God wrote in Revelation chapter 22, verse 17, and the Spirit, now the Spirit again is capitalized, right? That means you're speaking of the Holy Spirit. And the Spirit and the bride is the church. The message of salvation goes out of the church. So the bride and the Spirit are two different people, so to speak. The Spirit is God, the Holy Spirit. The bride is the church. So we're speaking of two different entities. If the bride and Spirit and the bride say come, they both have to say come. You must receive a call from both. You must receive a call from God, and you must receive a call from a church or from a message of the church. And let him that hears that. How do you hear? You hear in your spiritual heart, don't you? You hear in the what the Holy Spirit has made quickened in you. Ephesians 2:1. The Holy Spirit has quickened your spirit, made it alive, and calls you to hear him say, come. Say, come, and let him that athirst, him that has that desire in his heart, and whosoever will, let him come take water of life freely. Don't hinder them. Let them come. Let them come. It's not for us to tell people whether they're saved or lost. You get the worst person in the world. I mean, And that person comes forward and says, Lord, save me. He says, I know that adulterous man can't be, that woman is an adulteress. She cannot even come to know Christ. Who are you to say that? Oh my. This verse contains both God's effectual call and man's call to come to Christ. The effectual call of God is irresistible. You can't resist it. I remember back when my father was drunk. I may have told you this before. Before he was a drunk, he was a deacon at a Baptist church over in Commerce, Texas. When he moved to Sulphur Springs, Texas, he took on his own business and became an alcoholic. And I was talking to a man that I was supposed to be an Armenian preacher one time that I worked for as a young, very, very young man. At his gas station, and I was telling him about it. He said, I'll tell you what could have happened. God called him to preach is what happened, and he's resisting God's call. Folks, you can't resist God's call. I come to know that later on in life when I got to know the Bible, that God's call is irresistible. You cannot reject God's call. When the Holy Spirit calls us, he's inside of us already. He's already quickened our spirit. And we're going to hear that call, aren't we? And we're going to find out in a minute, you can't reject the call of God. Or it cannot be rejected or refused in any way. The reason for this is God never fails. Listen, if God was to call you and you were to reject God, God would have failed because God wants you and he didn't get you. His will never fails. If God ordained something, he predestinated us to be his children, right? He predestinated us because he foreknew us. He, and foreknowing something or electing something, then it is assured as sealed and sealed as God's ordained will. In Revelation 22:17, we just read, God said, and the Spirit and the bride say, come, let him thirst come. The call of the Holy Spirit and the call of the bride or the church are not the same call. We give a general call. We call everybody. God don't call everybody. I'm sorry if that offends some people. Not really, but just to be polite. I'm not always polite, so take hold of that. I'm sorry if that offends some people, but it's not true. God's call is never rejected. While they're both pointing to salvation, we call people to come as a church. We send the invitation out. We send the gospel out. One is effectual and the other is simply a general call. The general call or the call of the bride can often be rejected and is often rejected by countless people. If I was walking through Walmart and I was to walk up to people and tell them about Jesus Christ, and they just look at me and laugh at me or spit in my face and walk off, that means they rejected. That was a call given, right? And that was a rejection. You can't reject God's gift. You can't reject His call. Look at Romans chapter 8, verse 14. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are sons of God. What's it say again? Look at it again. Read it again. As many, that's a number. We don't know the number, but that's a certain amount of people that are led by the Spirit of God. The Holy Spirit of God calls them. He leads them to Christ. They are the sons of God. Not possibly, not maybe, but they are. See where it's going? For ye have not received the spirit of bondage unto fear, again unto fear, but you have received the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of adoption, the Spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. God said, as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the children of God. The Spirit of God never fails. He doesn't call people that don't come. That's the effectual call of God. I had a couple more scriptures I was going to read, but I'm going to get on with this message. With this being said, let us look back now unto the effectual calling of God and His power and working in our salvation. First, how does God know all things work together for good in believers' life? How does He know that? He promised it in Romans 8, 28, did He not? That's not just God said, I hope it happens. No, God said, whether it's good, bad, ugly, whether you like it, don't like it, it's for your good. If I was getting run over by a dump truck today and get killed, that'd be for my good. If I walk out in that yard, trip and fall and break a leg, something within that is for my good. Everything in a believer's life is for the good. We don't see it. Sometimes it looks like a total disaster. Sometimes it's just for God to show His glory to us. Right? It says in verse 28, we said all things work together for good. I'm going to move on. So go to Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. God knows this because God has ordained every believer's life as He chooses. As He chooses. Why am I a pastor? Why am I even a minister? What makes me qualified to be a minister? What makes me more qualified than Ronnie or Larry or Frank or Justin or Brother Maddie? What makes me more qualified? Most of these men here in this church are a lot smarter than I am. Sometimes people look at me and say, why did you say that? That don't even, my education level won't go so far. So why did God choose to use me? I can't answer that, but He did, didn't He? And He also made me judge. Look at verse 10 of Ephesians 2. For we are His workmanship. We are His creation. Who? Christians. Not just me. Not just ministers. Not just teachers. Not just deacons, not just men in the church at work, but every Christian. We are God's workmanship, created, made to be in Christ Jesus unto good works. We're not doing good works. We're doing them because God ordained it for us. Everything in our life, sometimes we find it hard to understand, hard to even believe, but everything in a Christian's life is ordained of God. People sometimes say, well, that's too minor for God to deal with. Folks, there is nothing in your life too minor for God to deal with. Think back as a father, an uncle, an aunt, a grandparent. And the minorest, the smallest details of children's life, you care about, didn't you? You do. If you have children today, you care about them. Your mother cared about every detail. Your father cared about every detail in your life. They want to know what's going on. Our Heavenly Father, the same way. He cares about every detail. Every detail of our life is ordained of God. Everything in life. Everything in our life is ordained of God. Which God hath before ordained that we should walk in it. When did He ordain that? When did God ordain everything in our life? Before the foundation of the world. So God went on to say, to them that are called according to His purpose. Back in Romans 8:28. Who's called? Who? Is everybody called? No, they can't be. God cannot call somebody that He's foreknew, ordained, predestinated to be His child, and then reject God. We can't reject God. Paul wrote in Philippians that God makes us willing. He changes our will. Purpose means everything in a Christian's life, no matter whether it's good, bad, ugly, even if it's sin. It's God's order. We would never sin if God wanted us to never sin. We would never do anything wrong in our life if God wanted it that way. Our sin brings glory to Him. Not that it's good to go out and do sin. I'm saying, whenever we sin, we recognize that we sin, we repent of that sin, it's a blessing to God. Always remember, God promised that it would work out for our good because He called us to it. He also promised that He would never leave us or forsake us, didn't He? So let's go to our second point. If you will, turn over to John 6. Have a couple of scriptures over there. Excuse me. So our second point is this. God's effectual calling us to salvation is also God's promise. God's effectual call is by the power of the Holy Spirit. The Spirit calls us. When He quickens our spirits inside, Ephesians 2:1 and 2:5, and He makes it alive because it was dead. Remember it was dead? Well, He makes it alive, and that's God's communicating with us. He communicates through His... When you say, well, you know, I was doing it, and all of a sudden, in my whole heart, I felt bad. Inside, it just tore my insides out. That's God talking to you. That's the Spirit of God dealing with you. Look at John chapter 6, 37. All that the Father give me shall come to me. How many? How many? Is there a number on that? Yes. All. Jesus said, all that the Father give me shall come to me. All that the Father give me shall come to me. And him that cometh, I will nowise cast out. Why not? Because God the Father gave us to Him. Before the foundation of the world, the Father gave us to the Son. We were His before we was ever born. We've always been His. Because before the foundation of the world, before any creation was done, God the Father gave us to the Son. Read it. It's right there. Well, it gets deeper than this, doesn't it? Jesus does about his tongue. If a person does not receive the official call of the Holy Spirit, they will never come to Christ. If they don't receive the call of God, they will never come to Christ. They may think they're saved. They may think, I made a decision for Christ. And sometimes people may think they made a decision for Christ or a choice for Christ and really are saved. God really did save them. Look at John chapter 6, verse 44. Folks, I'm not sugarcoating this stuff. I'm not making things. This is scripture I'm reading to you. This is the actual calling of God. And this is why God called us. Look at verse 44 in John 6. No man can come to me except the Father which has sent me draw him. So, how does the Father draw us? He calls us. How does he call us? The Holy Spirit comes in us. The Holy Spirit quickens our spirits. And the Father calls us through the Holy Spirit, telling us in our living spirits that we can now discern right and wrong. We can now discern what biblical truth is. I come because the Father called me. He drew me. He pulled me to Christ. Remember, before the foundation of the world, he already had ordained I would be in the image of Christ. Here is the process of the foreknowledge, of the predestination, of the ordained of God, of him choosing Christ to die for me before the foundation of the world, of him setting up my complete life and my complete salvation. Lord says we live, we move, we have our being in him. Everything we are is in Christ. Everything. Jesus said, I will raise him up in the last days. There's no question. The word draw, when he says, no man comes to me, the Father draw him, and said, Father will draw you. The word draw means to pull. It means to pull, just like if I was pulling on a wire or a rope. That's what the Father does. He draws us to him. Drags us. Not against our will. It makes us willing, doesn't it? Second Timothy chapter 1. I have a lot of scripture. I loaded this booger down with scripture. I sat down yesterday and put this together. I had another message in mind. Lord put this on my heart and he just wouldn't turn it loose. God said in 2 Timothy chapter 1 verse 8 and 9. Be thou not therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord. You mean there's really people that are ashamed? People are ashamed of the sovereignty of God. People are ashamed that God is sovereign. So ashamed of it, they just discount. God's not sovereign. No, God has to bend over to our will. God's waiting on me to make my decision. God's waiting on me to make my choice. God's waiting, and he's going to keep waiting until I'm ready. Isn't that the way they think? Yes. I'm not ashamed. Are you ashamed of this? I'm not ashamed of it at all. Nor of me, his prisoner. Be thou, that's Paul speaking, be thou partaker of the affliction of the gospel according to the power of God. Not my power, not your power, not the church's, the God, power of God. Now look at verse 9. I have this highlighted in bold because it's important. Who hath saved us? Not that we saved ourselves. Who saved us? God saved us. And called us with a holy calling. Now, don't miss this next part. Not according to our works. We did nothing to cause God to call us. But according to his own purpose and grace, which was given to us in Christ Jesus. Oh, here's the most damning part of this whole thing. Oh, people just cannot, they just get high when they hear this. Before the world began. That right there tells you everything you need to know about salvation. And people ignore it. Oh, no. It's all about me. It's all about my choices, my works. It's all about me. No, it ain't. It's nothing about us. We're the children of God, but God made us his children. Look at the scripture, beloved. Look at the word of God. Don't listen to them heretics in the pulpit. Listen to the word. Study. To show thyself approved unto God, rightly dividing the truth of the word of God. Go to Ephesians chapter 1, if you will. I'm sorry. Go to 1 Thessalonians 5. I'm looking at that clock trying to get ahead of myself. See what you got left. I'm almost done. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 24. Faithful is he that called you. Faithful is he that calleth you, who will also do it. Whatever it is, salvation, he'll complete it. Pastor of the church, he will complete it. Being the clerk of the church, or deacon, or treasurer, or anything you do for the Lord. Lord doesn't put through the fire and feel the heat. And why would he do that? I might do that, but God would never do that. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 4. There is one body, one spirit, that's the Holy Spirit, even as you are called in one hope of your calling. There's one spirit. One calling. See, there's a general call again. You said, no, there's two. The church's call is useless if the Spirit of God is not calling. We are just the earthly call, the outwardly call. The Holy Spirit calls us inside of us. He's the Spirit, he's the one that calls, that changes your life. That calls you to repent. That causes you to come to Christ. He's the one that saves your soul. We are called into one hope. Christ is our hope, isn't he? And that hope is in one Savior, Jesus Christ. Third, let's go to Ephesians chapter 1 real quick. Third is, God said, he also did predestinate us to be conformed to the image of his son. That's what he said over Romans 8, wasn't it? I believe it's 29. I think that scripture here is either 29 or 30. I think it's 29. But it says, he also did call us to be conformed to the image of his son. He called us. Not a general call. Remember, when God calls, we answer. We don't think about it. We don't wonder about it. We go. When God says, today's your day. You can be born again today. You come. You come rejoicing, and the angels in heaven rejoice. Not because you made a decision for Christ. Not because you turned over a new leaf. But because God's power saved your soul. Another child added. Look at Ephesians chapter 1, verse 4. I'm skipping a little bit of this. I'm sorry, I have to. I got about 7 minutes left. And verse 4 says, according to as he has chosen us in him before the foundation of the world. When did he choose us? When? Oh, that's to Israel. No, it's not. It's to Israel and it's to Gentiles and Jews alike. Just like Romans chapter 3. It says right there to Jews and Gentiles alike. As he had chosen us in him before the foundation of the world. What did he choose us to be? Chose us to be holy and without blame before him alive. That's what he chose us to be. Having predestined, there's that word again, predestined us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself. Adopted us. We're not just in and out of the family of God. We're not saved and falling. We become a child of the Lord. Do you just, when you have a baby, do you just, unless you're a mother like a lot of them in the world is, you're not just going to throw your child away. And the first time they grow up and they do something, you might disown them later and have some hard love toward them because they just won't get straight. And you give up, you don't know what else. God doesn't do that, folks. God never gives up on us. According to the good pleasure of his will. Not the good pleasure of our will, but the pleasure of his will. To the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he has made us accepted in the blood. He made us accepted in the blood. Turn over one chapter, chapter 2. No one can come to Jesus Christ for salvation without first being called by the power of the Holy Spirit. Then a quickening that must take place before believing. You can't believe if your spirit's dead. Look at verse 4. But after God had just told us what we were, how awful we were. Read it, 1 through 3. He tells us, well, this is what you were before I saved you. And then he comes out in verse 5 and explains some things. He says, God, who is rich in mercy, thank you, Lord, for being rich in mercy, for his great love where he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, has quickened us together with Christ. For by grace you're saved. He quickened us. We didn't quicken ourselves together with Christ. He quickened us. That's the call of God. That's an effectual call that we cannot reject. You can reject the church all day. You know what? The gospel is a useless message if the Holy Spirit does not give it power. The whole word of God is a useless message if it is not given to you through the power of the Holy Spirit. If the Holy Spirit is not opening your spirit, opening your heart, why don't we all believe lockstep? Why don't we all believe the same? Why don't we all believe everything in this book? Because the Holy Spirit taught us different, hadn't he? 1 Corinthians 12. We read that through 1 through 11, didn't we? We studied that. Let's go to the last point. I got about 4 minutes left. I'm going to get you out on time. So he goes back to Romans chapter 8, verse 30. Going back to Romans chapter 3 anyway. So go ahead and turn back to your text scripture. Chapter 8, verse 30. We are justified, made righteous, cleansed, because God called us. He said, them he also called, whom he called, them he also justified. Justified, 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 justified. He called, he justified, he foreknew, he predestinated. He ordained. He drew us. The word justified means to render as just or innocent, or to deem to be righteous. You say, I knew that. Well, some people don't know that. But only those whom God calls with his effectual call. We don't just turn over a new leaf. We don't just We're not filthy to as snakes and all of a sudden just turn out to be good. Why can't people just repent? Why can't they make a choice? Why can't people just make a decision? Because if the Father does not draw us, we will never come. Look at Romans chapter 3, verse 9. It says, what then? Are we better than they? The Jews are asking. He says, no, and why? For we have before proven both Jews and Gentiles that they were all under sin. No matter who you are, Jews and Gentiles, it don't matter. You're all under sin. And it's written, there's none righteous. No, not one. There's none that understand us. There's none that, listen, there is none that seek after God. Both Jews and Gentiles. Nobody seeks God. They are all gone out of the way. Every one of them. They are all together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good. No, not one. Remember, outside the Spirit of God, outside of His salvation, we do nothing to please God. That word said over Romans 8, didn't it? It means all people are under the power of sin and cannot overcome that sin. We are bound to sin unless the Spirit changes us. He's got to quicken the Spirit before a poor person can be saved. Sin controls every thought and every action of every individual until the Lord our God, as He says in Colossians, transfers us from Satan to Christ. That's pulling us, drawing us. John 6, and I'll end with this. This is my conclusion. It is well with your soul. You have ever received the effectual call of the Spirit of God. That's the only way it's well with your soul. It is well. I can't sing, but you understand what I'm saying. Have you been to Jesus? Are you fully cleansed? Jesus said, John chapter 6, verse 47, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me hath everlasting life. Because you're not going to believe unless God calls. You're not going to turn over a new leaf unless God turns it over for you. You're not going to make a decision unless God makes it for you first. Then you can classify it any way you want to, because if God didn't ordain you, if He didn't foreknow you, if He didn't predestinate you, if He didn't call you, if He didn't draw you, if the Holy Spirit didn't quicken your spirit, you're not saved. I don't care what you believe in your life. I don't care what you do in your life. You're not saved. Let's all stand. Brother Bookhouse, come. Going to lead us to number 79. If there's any reason to come, you come while we sing number 79.